This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, I got this from Garrett M. Garrett M. wrote, Kevin, you've been very insistent that Washington should be all in to win the Super Bowl during Jaden's rookie contract. So why aren't they all in on Trey Hendrickson? Doesn't the definition of all in mean you're willing to pay the price asked rather than trying to get the best deal? They overpaid for Javon Kinlaw. They traded too much for Tunsil. So why not a first rounder or whatever the Bengals are asking for Hendrickson? They haven't done enough on defense, and he might be the last proven defensive player available in this offseason that can make an immediate difference. Don't you think it's strange that they're not just paying the asking price? So, you know, at this point, by the way, let's just understand what Cincinnati did this weekend in signing Chase and Higgins to long-term deals and how they can structure that from a cap perspective that may allow them to give Hendrickson what he's looking for. Like, the possibility that Hendrickson stays in Cincinnati, I think, is a real possibility. I've never thought that it wasn't a possibility, even though he got what he asked for, which was the ability to go out and seek a trade. But that's in play. But let's assume that they're still in the mode of trying to trade him, that the asking price for those hovering around Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals is still too high for any of the teams interested. Let's also assume, and I think it to be true, that Washington's one of those teams. And let's just say for the sake of it that Cincinnati's asking for a first and a third, and nobody wants to pay that. So there are a couple of things here. First of all, and I've said this before, I don't like, and I know this kind of stems from my conversations over the last few weeks with Ben on this show, and our difference of opinion of kind of the where they are. All in to me is different than kind of the mode they're in, the thinking, the mindset. They're in a win-now mindset. I personally think it's really hard to debate against that. They traded at the trade deadline for a player who was injured at the time and gave up a bunch of picks for Marshon Lattimore. They traded a fifth-rounder for Debo Samuel, but they're paying him $17.6 million for 1 year. They traded four picks for Laremy Tunsil. They have traded eight draft choices for three players. To me, that is just a standalone entity, kind of is the definition of we're trying to do something right now. It doesn't mean that Lattimore and Tunsil can't help them in the future also. And the Tunsil deal is actually almost a little bit different because it's almost an investment in the quarterback as well, the protection of your prized possession. But all in, to me, means that you're like willing to spend everything and even overspend. A win-now mindset is about the, you know, is about their thinking. which is we didn't expect to be here, but we have an elite quarterback, and he's only going into his second year of his rookie deal. We can't even legally start to think about extending him and giving him a high-level elite quarterback deal until after his third season, which is 2026. Everybody understands the value of the most important position on the field not being paid at an elite level and what you can do around that. The rookie quarterback contract, not just for a rookie quarterback, but for a great rookie quarterback. And I think their mindset is about taking advantage of that. I think we've seen some proof of that. I think the fact that they were reportedly very interested in Khalil Mack, I personally think if Myles Garrett had made it to, you know, the trade market, I think Washington would have been sniffing around that one as well. And I think that they are involved in Trey Hendrickson, and they're interested in Trey Hendrickson as well. But the mindset doesn't mean that you can deliver, because we've talked about this as well. This was not a great free agent class. It wasn't necessarily a great free agent class for the positions that they needed. And so the trade market kind of has taken over in terms of how the win now mindset has manifested itself into three trades: Lattimore, Debo to a lesser extent, and Tunsil. I don't think that in win now mode, you overpay. I don't think you allow yourself to get fleeced in a deal. I think that you are more willing to not haggle and pay a fair price. And they don't believe, and by the way, it doesn't appear that any other team in the league that is interested in Hendrickson believes that Cincinnati is asking for fair compensation. A first and a third, if we assume that it's something approximating that, I think it's at least a first plus. You know, when you then have to pay the player, more likely than not, a top three edge rusher salary, which would be $30 to $34 million a year with a lot guaranteed over 3 to 4 years, the compensation that you give up for a player that you've got to pay is not as much as what you have to give up for a player that you don't have to pay. I think everybody understands that. So, personally, I think Myles Garrett would have been the one player, had he been available, that you not only pay fair price, you might consider in win-now mode overpaying a little bit for. Because, to me, they're not comparable players. Myles Garrett's a better player and a much bigger impact player than Trey Hendrickson would be. So part of it may be they are willing Garrett, all right, not Myles Garrett, but Garrett M., who sent this email to me. They're willing to be super aggressive and maybe even overpay, but not for this player. You know, not for this player. And let's also keep in mind that they have a pick in the first round and in the second round in a draft that is, by all accounts, rich in edge pass rushers. They also need an edge run stopper, as we've talked about before. But I do think that, Denton, part of what Garrett writes is the reaction that I think many fans are having right now and will have if we get to training camp and nothing else is added defensively. And that is when Garrett writes, they haven't done enough on defense. And this is the last proven defensive player, you know, they haven't done enough on defense is not an unreasonable take at this point, you know, because what have they done on defense? Well, this was the weakness of the team last year. And so far, I would say the biggest move or the most important move was re-signing Bobby Wagner. You needed Bobby Wagner back. He played at a high level. And without Bobby Wagner on that defense last year, it would have been even worse. And maybe Jaden wouldn't have been able to overcome the lack of a defense as many times as he did without Bobby Wagner. So to me, that was crucial. They spent a lot of money on Javon Kinlaw. Goldman, Wise, Jonathan Jones, Will Harris and Kinlaw are the only multi-year deals done on defense. You know, they brought back on defense Noah, but Cleveland Farrell, Sheldon Day, Jalen Holmes. But if we don't see another move defensively, other than what they do in the draft, and let's just say they pick a defensive end at 29, or they trade back and they pick a defensive end early in the second round along with other picks that they pick up, you know, in a trade back. I think that what they have done will put us into position going into camp in saying that the biggest weakness on the team was not addressed. From afar, was not addressed appropriately. With that said, I would also, you know, not be like they can't be any good defensively. They didn't do enough. They're going to stink defensively again. And they've got a tougher schedule. And this is not going to be good for 2025. Jaden's going to have to be all world plus what he was as a rookie. Because defense is variable. Year to year, there's more variance in defense than there is in offense. Big changes happen, and sometimes they happen with the same core group of players that you had the year before. We've seen it in reverse. Washington in 2022, a top 10 defense by every statistical, traditional, and advanced number. It was a very good defensive team in 2022, which is why they were competing for a playoff spot late into December, actually all the way till, you know, up until January 1st when they lost to Cleveland at home. And the only significant difference from the 22 defense that was really good and the 23 defense that was abysmal, Cole Holcomb and Bobby McCain. I mean, hardly massive difference makers from 22 to 2023. Defense is high variance year to year. You know, Philadelphia's defense is one of the best we've seen in a long time. They may not be nearly as good next year. Now, they've lost some players, but they may not be as good. It just happens that way. So you add to that that you've got a staff that's in year two. They might be expecting a major jump in just understanding of what they want to do defensively. Like, we've got a lot of the core guys coming back, but it's year two, and they've got a better sense of what the system is. And, you know, we all said, I said anyway, and I think Denton, you agreed with me during the course of the year, that there was a massive disconnect with some of the players they had and the performance. Like, Frankie Luvu's a good player. Bobby Wagner is a good player. Chin and Martin played well. Armstrong at times played well. They did lose 10.5 sacks with Dante Fowler Jr. going to Dallas. But, you know, maybe they look at it and say, we have some good players. We're bringing back some good guys, good quality players, rotational players. I think they have tried to make a bigger splash defensively, whether it was Khalil Mack or currently with Trey Hendrickson. But if they don't make that splash, we will, from afar, be saying they didn't really address the weakness on the team. But they might say, don't worry about it. We like our core group, and we love them in year two. Much higher understanding of the system. And by the way, maybe in their self-examination of 2024, maybe they think it was more scheme than players. For all we know, maybe it's their run defensive scheme, or maybe the play calling was an issue more than the players. Now, they brought back Joe Witt Jr., they brought back much of their staff, but I think they've been interested in a bigger move. Mack, Hendrickson, maybe Garrett would have been. And I am not going to be, when we get to training camp, if nothing else happens, doom and gloom on defense because of the understanding of the incredible variance year to year with defensive teams. But I think if we get to training camp and nothing else is legitimately done other than, say, a high draft pick on a defensive player, I think this will be the alarm bell for most people. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. 780-489-0980. Phone lines are open. Simple question. Have they done enough defensively? And if they don't do anything else, how are you going to feel if this is the group, along with a draft pick or two, that you enter 2025 with? Denton will give me his answer. I've given you mine. 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and theteam980.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Denton. It's a simple question, probably with an obvious answer, but I also want to sort of push it out to, you know, how we will feel if this is what it looks like heading into training camp. So the part one is, have they done enough on defense?
I do not think that they have done enough on defense. No.
So when we get to training camp, if this is the group that they have in place, and no big deal, no big splash, Hendrickson re-signed with Cincinnati, et cetera, or got traded elsewhere, what will you be thinking heading into 2025 with the obvious, you know, concern from last year not being, you know, addressed enough?
I'd be very, very confused. You know, I understand the concept of hoping that another year in the system magically changes things. You know, you get everybody understands it. They know their role. They get better at that. I totally get that. But I don't know that I can rely on that if you are in a position where you want to win now. Not all in. Like, I'm in agreement with you in that there's a very big difference between all in and win now mode. You're in a win now mode looking to build a roster that can compete for years and years to win a championship. But if they hypothetically go, let's just say, heavy, heavy on offense in the NFL draft, and they don't take an edge guy until, like, they make some trades, they get one in round four, and they don't really address anything in the first couple of rounds with the first couple of picks, I'd be very, very concerned. I'd have some questions. If they don't land Trey Hendrickson, they don't land Trey Hendrickson. I think that's fine as long as you address that position of need in the draft. This is a great draft to do it. I don't mind Adam Peters sticking to the plan. This does strike me as a front office that has an overarching plan of how they want this team to look for years to come, and not throwing that plan away because they had one really good season, which would be why you don't give up the draft capital that is being requested for Trey Hendrickson. I don't have any problem with that, but if they go different directions and don't get an edge guy early in the draft, or as early as they're going to be drafting in the draft, despite the strength of the class, I'm going to be a little concerned.
My buddy, Ricky, just sent me a text, and he just said, what could they have done that they didn't do? Well, there were some options out there. You know, they obviously could have been in on the Josh Sweat market. You know, he signed, you know, what was it? It was close to $80 million with the Cardinals, right?
Yeah, 4 years, like 76, I think it was.
Okay. They could have been in on Charvarius Ward, you know, a high-level corner, a guy that, you know, needed out of San Francisco, that the general manager obviously was familiar with. The guy from Dallas, you know, with a lot of the consonants in his last name, there was talk about him being a possibility. Milton Williams from Philadelphia was a possibility. He got a massive deal with the Patriots. So there were things that could have been done that would have perhaps made us feel differently than we feel right now, which is Javon Kinlaw was the major outside add, and the major retain was Bobby Wagner. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Have they done enough? And then B, just what could they have done and how will you feel if this is the group that they head to training camp with? Let's start with our guy, Lou. Lou, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin? How's it going?
What's up, Lou?
Kevin, nothing much. Can you hear me?
I got you. Yeah.
Let me get out here for a second.
You got a lot of things going on there right now.
I think, can you hear me now? I think it's a little quiet now.
I got
nice
you, Lou.
Quiet.
Go.
Can you hear me now? Yeah, man.
Can you hear me now?
Come on, Kevin. We won like, what, 12 games, 13 games last season with Benjamin St. Juice, and you telling me Jonathan Jones and the other guy from New Orleans Saints that we got. I think it's an upgrade. Maybe the defensive inside, maybe we could maybe get that in the Matthew Judon. I don't know. So one of these guys may maybe.
Judon's still out there. He did not play well in Atlanta last year.
Yeah. Or the other guy from Detroit, Za'Darius Smith, maybe.
Yep.
Maybe.
Still
they could
out
come
there.
In maybe, in a 1-year deal, maybe kind of.
Lou's having some issues. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
Kevin, I don't think they've done enough on defense. I don't think they've done enough on offense. I think the Kunsil deal was fantastic. But outside of that, bringing in an aging Deebo Samuel with tons of wear and tear and injury history isn't good enough on offense. And on defense, I don't know how anyone can make the argument they're better. And this notion that they'll improve in year number two, well, that could be applicable to 31 other teams. Everyone
True.
Thinks they're getting better and improving. So I don't know what the Vegas odds are, but I don't see that win total moving one iota based on this free agency period. And for all those people who are like, let Adam Peters cook and all this free cash flow and salary cap money, it's been underwhelming. Like, I didn't expect Trey Hendrickson and Myles Garrett and this guy and that guy, but more than just Laremy Tunsil. I mean, it's been underwhelming. Offense, defense, everything. It's been underwhelming.
Tunsil's a major move. They just added one of the best pass-protecting left tackles in the game. That is a major upgrade over what they've had.
I
at a very critical
you,
position.
I agree with you. But outside of that, I expected more. Again, they don't have to be crazy. They don't have to go all in and blow it up for 1 year. But again, your offensive upgrades are Tunsil, which is an A-plus acquisition, and Deebo Samuel. I mean, is that exciting? I don't know. Zach Ertz is older. I just think it's been underwhelming.
I think retaining Ertz was actually kind of a big deal, but I don't think he was going anywhere. I think
the Tunsil deal makes me disagree with you offensively. When you improve that significantly in a move at arguably the second most important position offensively, you should be even better offensively on paper than you were. Do we want to see another playmaker somewhere? Deebo is in a contract year. He could be the second best playmaker they have offensively after the quarterback and Terry. Defensively, to me, is where you don't have the feeling that they've improved as much as they needed to improve to address what was the number one reason that they couldn't get through the NFC Championship game into a Super Bowl, is that they just weren't good enough defensively, period. I know the turnovers were a big factor in that game, but overall, I mean, a lot of the reasons that they were winning these games with dramatics at the end is they were giving up a lot of points. Whether it was to Philly without, by the way, Jalen Hurts, or to Atlanta with a rookie quarterback, starting. Even against New Orleans, for crying out loud, with Spencer Rattler, you had to rely on your quarterback to overcome all of that. Let's go to William in North Carolina. William, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. Hey, I think they haven't really done as much as I want them to do. But I really trust them. because remember last year we were complaining about the older players coming in, and
look
what they did. And even if and I trust, you know, due to draft choices and all that, but if they stand still based on where they are, and I still trust them because I think they'll go with the scheme. And even though I'm speaking from a fan, but we got to trust them that they're doing a job. I mean, just think about a couple years ago or 3 years ago, the coach and general manager, what they did. And we've complained about it. I'm going to relax, sit under the umbrella, and just listen to you. Thanks.
Well, that is definitely an adult way to pursue it. But, you know, what if we didn't talk about these things as they happen in real time, I mean, what do you want to – talk hockey for the next hour and a half? I mean, I understand where you're coming from. And for me, there is a certain level of they've built enough trust. They've earned enough trust. By the way, beyond just the front office, the coaching staff, to coach them up in year two even more so. And to your point last year, and we talked about this last week, I mean, all of the one-year deals, no big splashes. I mean, I loved Luvu when they got him, but people were talking about Wagner being too old, Ertz being too injured. I mean, I don't know that there was more pushback last year to any of their signings than there was to Marcus Mariota. I just remember the loud groan from all of you. Oh, he stinks. Why would we sign him? Well, he was crucial. You know, I don't think people complained about Biotish, but, you know, it was like too many Cowboys with Armstrong, etc. There was a lot of complaining about what went on last year. And a lot of those players they signed really did produce. Let's go to Steve in Columbia. Steve, have they done enough defensively? And, you know, what could they have done? And how will you feel if this is the group heading into 2025 on defense?
All right, Kevin, how are you doing?
Good, Steve.
I think they could have done more, all right? But there were specific areas, you know, an edge to stop the run and an edge pass rusher. I think they will trade back in the draft and pick up some guys. I do think the defense as is today is better than it was last year. These might not be named guys, but I think they fit the scheme that they're trying
to play. That's possible.
I do have concern about the scheme, though, because I think when you're doing a 4-2, you need linebackers who can go side to side. And I don't know, and as good as Bobby is, I don't think he's got that lateral movement to get over there. But maybe you pick up a guy in the draft or one of these guys, Kinlaw, whoever, who can set that edge better. So I'm optimistic, and I also think Debo is going to be a significant upgrade on the receiving end. He's going to come there in shape. He has something to prove. I think McCaffrey's also going to step up. So I'm optimistic.
Yeah, and, you know, with respect to sort of the linebackers, they really liked Jordan McGee last year. He just never got healthy. And to your point, there are players that were drafted last year like McCaffrey, like McGee, like Sinnott, who they may be expecting, like Johnny Newton, they may be expecting to really step up. And in year two, you know, most players don't have career years in their first year like the quarterback did. So I think sometimes, you know, I think all NFL fans do this. You forget about last year's draft class, and it's actually in year two and year three where you start to see that draft class mature if it's going to mature. So there's a lot of that. And to your first point just about, and by the way, Luvu definitely is a sideline to sideline, you know, a linebacker. And I thought they did a good job with Chin in the box, and hopefully Will Harris will fill that role. Quan Martin's pretty capable there too. But they may have signed players that they feel better about in their scheme. Kinlaw may be playing more, you know, as a defensive end. You know, and Eddie Goldman is a rotational piece. They may feel better about Daron Payne in year two in the same system. Johnny Newton, the same thing. They brought back Sheldon Day. I mean, Sheldon Day had a couple of actually outstanding games, not with high snap counts. I think they liked, and I mentioned this before, they re-signed him over the weekend. I think they liked Jalen Holmes last year, 96. And I think they also liked 90, their seventh-round pick last year, John Baptiste. I think there was a lot to his game that they liked. So that's the thing, is like year two of John Baptiste, let's just use him as an example, we may be talking about him as if they really found a dude that can do it in the seventh round. We just didn't see it sort of mature and materialize until his second year in the league. There's a lot of that that can happen. But right now, looking at it, it doesn't look like they did enough. You know, if they had signed Khalil Mack, we'd feel a little bit differently. If it was a defensive class that was DJ Reed and Khalil Mack and Josh, well, they wouldn't have signed Sweat as well. But if it was like Mack and Reed and, who else am I? They wouldn't have done Ward. Javon Holland, you know, instead of Will Harris, we would have said, wow. But they didn't sign those players, and maybe there were lots of reasons for not signing those players, including in Khalil Mack's case, he wanted to stay in L.A. and play for the team he played for last year. If you're on hold, stay there. Have they done enough on defense? I think the answer is obviously on paper, no, but I think there's a lot more context to it. The question part two is, how will you feel if this is it, other than a draft choice or two, heading into August and September with, you know, the part of the team that was the bigger concern last year, not being, you know, obviously improved. 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Wizards last night, they lose to the Trailblazers 112-97. Alex Sarr had 20 points. Tristan Vucevic had 17 off the bench for the Wizards. Caps in action tonight at home against the Red Wings at 7. Alex Ovechkin is 8 goals away from passing Wayne Gretzky, 7 away from tying. The Caps also 2 points behind the Winnipeg Jets for the most in the NHL. MLB season kicked off in Tokyo. Yep. We all knew that. The Dodgers beat the Cubs in the Tokyo Series Game 1, 4-1. Shohei Ohtani went 2-5 in the Tokyo Dome out there in Japan. NFL news, Aziz Ojulari, say that one 10 times fast. Aziz Ojulari signed a 1-year, $4 million deal with Philly. Now, 2 first 4 games tonight in the NCAA tournament. You get San Francis, that's in Pennsylvania, and Alabama State in the battle of the 16 seeds at 6:40. Alabama State a 4.5-point favorite in that one. Then you get UNC and San Diego State in the battle of the 11 seeds at 9:10. You can hear that game right here on the Team 980. UNC currently a 4.5-point favorite in that one. And that's what's trending.
You'll hear my conversation with Maryland coach Kevin Willard coming up at noon. Roy Hibbert is doing a lot of college basketball analyst work these days. He'll join me at 12:35. So basically, we know what Washington's done defensively in free agency and really in free agency. They have re-signed Bobby Wagner. That's a big deal. They paid Javon Kinlaw $30 million guaranteed for 3 years. Eddie Goldman, Dietrich Wise, Jonathan Jones, the longtime corner from the Patriots, Will Harris, the safety from New Orleans, was signed for 2 years, $8 million to replace Jeremy Chinn, who doubled up Harris's money in his deal. They signed Jacoby Martin in free agency, and they brought back Sheldon Day, Cleveland Farrell, Jalen Holmes as well. Have they done enough defensively? And if you don't think so, how are you going to feel about them defensively heading into 2025? What I would say is I am giving them some benefit of the doubt in having a vision for a Javon Kinlaw, for an Eddie Goldman, for a Jonathan Jones, for a Will Harris. That year two in the same system could produce high-level variance from last year. It happens a lot in the NFL defensively. And I think this is a team that if this is the group they go to bat with, keep in mind, too, and I didn't mention this, there's a chance in year two they're going to be better offensively, which may put even, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of pressure put on this defense by the offense last year, but they could be even more lethal offensively, which may make a lot of this moot. But yeah, they may have a mix of players that is a better mix for them in year two with a lot of those players with maybe a tweak to the scheme. We'll see. What do you say? 301-230-0980. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, what's up?
Big guy, how you doing, man? Hail to the W.
Hail to the W.
Hey, I say this, man. As far as free agency in the whole, I've been saying this most of the free agency is, listen, man, you got to have talent to replace talent. And we didn't have talent. We went 5 years of missing on the first round pick. You know, so you got to say five draft failures, you know, as far as total drafts go. So we didn't you got to have talent to replace talent. I think they bringing talent to the roster. You know, as far as the defense go, I like what they – I'm with you. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because last year this time, we was all scratching our heads, too, about the players they were signing. You know, we – Dante Fowler, Dorian Thorne, you know, we was doing the same thing last year. And it seems to me is they got bigger across the front. Talk about how they got dominated up front. You know, well, all the guys they signed up front were big guys, you know.
Yeah.
And so we got bigger across the front and got better in the secondary. You got to say Jones is better than the combination of St. Juice and Davis that they had out there last year.
Well, you also have to look at Sanra still in his second year. How much better will he be in year two? He was pretty outstanding as a rookie.
No, but I'm just saying as far as the talent on the roster goes.
Yeah.
You know, I said that at the beginning of this free agency. I said that, look, from what we did last year, you know, winning 12 games and Jaden being the quarterback, we're going to be picking at a better quality of one-year player pool than we were last year. And I truly believe that. So, you know, I like what they're doing on defense. You know, we're finally bringing players to fit our scheme instead of just bringing in name recognition players whose skill set is not fitting what we want to do.
You know, well, I think they've tried. I think they've been interested in name players, and time will tell as to whether or not, you know, the combination of a Kinlaw and a Jones and a Will Harris and maybe an Eddie Goldman end up being better for the scheme that they want to employ. But you have to think that they believe these guys are the right fit for what they want to do. And to your point, the one thing that we can tell from the outside looking in is they wanted to get bigger up front. And with Kinlaw and Goldman, they got a lot bigger up front, you know, than they were last year.
Hey, before you let me go, I want to say this one thing to you, you know, being a little uncoachable about Laramie Thompson. I hear you keep saying a couple of times that you don't see the comparison between him and Trent Williams. Now, Trent Williams is a special player. He's a different animal. You know what I mean? He's one of the tough guys around the league. But I will say this about Tunsil and Trent Williams' comparison. When Trent Williams left here, there wasn't a lot of people calling him a Hall of Fame left tackle. There's a lot of people saying, yeah, he was good, but it was, I don't know if it was pushed back before him leaving or whatever it was, but a lot of people like to say, well, he made all these Pro Bowls.
He made eight Pro Bowls at that point. I don't think he was a lock. I agree with you, but he had made eight Pro Bowls at that point.
People was denouncing them Pro Bowls and saying it's more of a player's thing, and the real thing is all pro, which he had only had one second team all pro when he left.
That's
here.
True. So that is true.
So everybody wanted, you know, go back and you know, give Trent Williams his flowers now. But when he left here, there wasn't a lot of that talk going on. A lot of people were trying to denounce him as being a Hall of Fame. Yeah, he was good, very good, but he wasn't Hall of Fame caliber. So,
you know, you're not wrong about that in terms of what we were saying, you know, especially he didn't play in 2019. You know, it had been over a year since he had played. And remember, he had some late season issues that really hurt the team, you know, in 2016 in particular, you know, down the stretch when he got suspended. So there was a lot of that going around, too. Right. But that's a different conversation than whether or not, I mean, this is my personal view, whether or not when they traded Trent Williams, how I felt about him as a player versus how I feel about Laramie Tunsil. I was much closer, as you were, to Trent Williams. Right. I still thought he was a dominant talent and an all-time athletic left tackle. We knew that, regardless of all pros or not all pros. And the division, remember, was stacked, and the NFC was stacked with left tackles.
Right.
With Jason Peters, Tron Smith, et cetera.
What I'm saying about Thompson is he has a similar resume from leaving Houston coming to us that Trent Williams had leaving us going to San Francisco. And the fact that he went and played.
Trent Williams was a mauler in the run game.
Yeah, I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm not saying that, Gene. I'm just saying it was a similar resume on both trades for both players. That's all. I said, let's not be too quick to say with Larry.
I love the trade. I love the trade. You know I love the trade. He's a phenomenal pass protector. What I heard the day of the trade was everybody saying, we just got Trent Williams back, and he's going to end up doing here what Trent did in San Francisco. That may be true, but I don't put those two players in the same category.
I'm just saying the situation is similar. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Situation is similar, man. So,
let me get to other calls. I'll talk to you later. Let's go to Billy. Let's go to Billy and Chantilly. Billy, go ahead.
Kevin, the further we got to recall here, we win the Super Bowl if we don't turn the ball over four times against the Eagles. That's the first thing. So defense is not as high a priority for everybody as I think it is not. This is a scoring league, Kevin.
Right.
A scoring league.
How did it work out for Kansas City in the scoring league in the Super Bowl?
We have the best scorer. Oh, Kevin, you know what we would have done to Kansas City? We would have beat them by 50.
First of all, you know how I feel about the championship game. The turnovers hurt. Philadelphia was flat out a better team. Period. The turnovers hurt. The final score was not indicative of the competitiveness of the game, but Philadelphia was the better team, period.
We'll see. We'll see in 2020.
Well, no, we already saw.
Who the better
team. I'm not projecting. We're going back.
Kevin, if we would have won the game if we didn't turn the ball over four times, period.
I disagree with that. I actually disagree with that. I disagree with that. I think the game would have been a lot closer in the score, but I don't think Washington would have won the game. I think Philadelphia, they could have named the number that they put up offensively against us. Named it.
Good.
They got 55. They could have gotten 70 if they needed 70.
Well, Jaden would have gotten 71 because he can score the football, Kevin. That kid can score the football.
Right.
This organization needs to be focused on not winning now, but creating the great culture that they're starting to have. I thought last year, for me, I'm a passionate fan. I thought last year would have been a panacea for the whole district. It wasn't. I thought people would have come storming back. They weren't. So they've got to earn. They have my trust already. They got to earn the trust of the fan that quit 10 years ago, and that's through great culture, not winning now, just having great guys in town, having great hard-working team, a team like they had last year, which was just such a phenomenal run. It was just a run of a lifetime to have that rookie quarterback and have the team go to the NFC Championship. And the other thing, this organization needs to we're probably going to win the Super Bowl this year anyway. The other thing this team has to do is, before we win that Super Bowl, which probably will be next year, is get rid of this darn name. The worst name in the history of sports.
Okay, you and I are on the same page with that. But let me just, you're going astray per usual. All right, you're saying that you are totally fine with what they've done defensively, and you'll have no concerns if they don't do anything else defensively heading into 2025. I just want to make sure you're on the record with that.
Time stamp it, and I'm not on the record on that. Listen, they're going to pick a couple guys in defense, and they're going to improve on defense. The Sanderstill guy is unbelievable. What a pick that was.
Yeah.
So I think they'll improve through the draft. Sanderstill is unbelievable, isn't he?
Yeah.
That kid
is a
warrior.
A chance they could be better defensively this year, but they haven't made it. There's been nothing obvious to the naked eye from afar, from the outside looking in, that they've improved themselves defensively. Other than hoping
I'd like to see
year two is a much better situation with the guys they had.
More offensive linemen. Protect Jaden. This is going to be a heck of a good year.
They traded for Tunsil,
Billy. Appreciate you.
They sent four picks for Tunsil. That's an investment in Jaden. That, you know, I love Billy, but I honestly, as much as I sat here for days on end after the NFC Championship game and said, you know, if Eckler doesn't fumble when they were, you know, had a chance to make it a one-score game late in the third quarter, they're in that game with a chance to win. At the same time, for me, what's also true, Philadelphia was better, and if Washington had kept that game close, Philadelphia would have been able to score whatever number they needed to win the game. They lost by 32 points. Turnovers do matter, but they could not stop Philadelphia at all in that football game. They had no chance of stopping them in that game, and Philly scored whatever they needed to score in that game. You know, in that game, they punted once, and they missed a field goal in that game too, if you recall. Kevin Willard, head basketball coach at Maryland, next.